That's the Bee Gees taking you back a few... The Bee Gees taking you back a few years. And a song called Spirit Having Flown. In the Ballymore Inn in Ballyver on Thursday night. That's tonight, the 14th of April. For the Cleary and the Rustlers. Admission £1.50. And that's going on from 9 p.m. To 11 p.m. That's 2 solid hours of For the Cleary and the Rustlers. So that should be, well, fairly enjoyable. Taking a short commercial break, back with one more, and then we're into our heavy record. Okay, you can still get your names mentioned on this heavy record if you ring straight away in 044-41694 now.
Come to Tullamore Harriers this weekend. On Friday the 15th of April, Tom McDonald. Saturday the 16th of April, on stage, Ireland's top rock and roll band, King Creole. Plus disco dancing to top club DJ. Plus top 20 on the big screen and non-stop dancing from 9 until 1.30. Admission only £2.50. Sunday the 17th of April, Dinny Hughes. Remember the dates, Friday Tom McDonald, Saturday King Creole and Sunday Dinny Hughes. See you in the Tullamore Harriers this weekend. Be there.
You'll get a great deal more from your Thor Super Dealer.
For the greatest deal you'll get on domestic appliances, go to MDA Tesco Shopping Centre Mullingar, because there's less to pay at MDA.
Your Thor Super Dealer gives you so much more.
Rattray Bridge Boxing Club presents Boxing Tournament and Cabaret in Whelan's Rattray Bridge on this Thursday the 14th of April. 20 contests featuring boxers from Mullingar, Longford, Connacht, Ulster and Drogheda. Also current Irish champions. Big crowd expected, so come early. Don't forget this Thursday night, the 14th, in Whelan's Rattray Bridge. Boxing and Cabaret, including bar extension from 8 p.m. to 1.30. Admission a mere £2. That's this Thursday night.
Fox Lifting Services, Ross Roads, Greg and Tullamore. 24-hour service, distance no object. For all types of cranes, the cheapest rates in Ireland. There we have 10-ton and 25-ton. Telephone 0506-214-2724 hours a day. Or telephone the office 41133. Don't risk it. Let Foxes lift it. That's Fox Lifting Services. Ross Roads, Greg and Tullamore. Entertainment continues at the Copper Beach Eden Derry with the only Midlands appearance of Johnny Logan this Thursday night, the 14th of April. And don't forget Friday night we have Sands Nightclub with the first ever Miss Meath of the Midlands competition, sponsored by Happy Holidays. The price for that is a holiday in Spain. And on Sunday night, you've got Midnight Blues, the winners of the recent Eden Derry competition, dancing from 10 until 2, including bar extension. Your weekend of entertainment at the Copper Beach, Eden Derry.
It's probably true, but at least there's a lecture.
the current single from Star Consort. Called Speak Like a Child. Okay then, we want to make room for a heavy metal track this day, 5 minutes almost nearly up, for all the headbangers in Oldcastle, for Sarah O'Reilly and all the girls who go to school, and for Barbara Griffin, John Gary and all the lads down in Clarencetown, and for all the lads... in Clarencetown, and for all the Gary family in Cross a Key, very especially then for Paddy Lynch in Kilskye, and for Joan in Cross a Keel, it comes actually from Joan in Cross a Keel, and she's working very hard on the cows. And we'll also say hi to Tricia Gary, and Tricia, we believe you had a new baby boy there recently, so well, congratulations to you, and for Alan and Kevin, for Mum, I think, and Maxie or Minnie or something like that. You're all in Minnie. Mammy, oh, I say Mammy, thank you very much. They're all in Dangan Road, Tullamore, and that comes from Mammy. I see. Right, okay then. Our heavy metal track for today comes from Julio Iglesias, and a song called Begin the Begin. Only joking. Can't get heavier than this. The Rolling Stones, and I can't get no satisfaction. That's why I listen to Radio West. The biggest and the best. Good afternoon to you.
Sybil Fennell and Bob Gallico, good afternoon. The death has occurred in Dublin of Mr. Ben Dunn Sr., founder of the supermarkets chain. He was 76 and he had been ill for some time. In Limerick City, former ranks workers who have been involved in a sit-in protest at the Dock Road Mills locked out management and staff this morning. A CIE spokesman has said there have been no new moves in the dispute affecting the company's services in Waterford. The city is without buses and there are no trains to and from it. Provincial bus services based in Waterford have also been hit. The dispute is over staffing. Leaders of the three main parties and of the SDLP will meet in Dublin this afternoon to plan the setting up of the proposed Forum for a New Ireland. They're expected to fix a date in the middle of next month for the first full meeting of the new body. The British Secretary for the North, Mr. James Pryor, has said the forum could be useful in pointing up the difficulties in looking for Irish unity. The Unionist parties, the Alliance, and the Workers' Party have all declined to take part.
Hundreds of members of the security forces on both sides of the South Armagh border are carrying out a major anti-terrorist search operation. At a news conference a short time ago, a senior RUC officer described the searches as widespread and very substantial. In the north, the searches have been carried out in an area stretching from Newton Hamilton to Newry. The police, including members of a divisional mobile support unit, are being helped by British Royal Marines and UDR men. Chief Superintendent Bill Wilson has told journalists that the search is being carried out because 8 of the 20 terrorist victims this year have been murdered in South Armagh. He's described as nonsense early allegations that the operation is purely cosmetic. Meanwhile, the police are still looking for two vehicles which they say were used by the IRA gunmen who murdered Trevor Elliott in Keadie, County Armagh last night. They're a light blue Ford Escort type van which had straw or hay on the back of it and a maroon-coloured Datsun. Mr. Elliott was a DUP press officer in Armagh. He was married with 5 children and he was also a sergeant in the Territorial Army. There's been widespread condemnation of his murder.
The one-day strike by Ulster bus drivers from midnight tonight now seems unlikely to go ahead. A spokesman for the 800 drivers in the Transport and General Workers Union said the decision by the Municipal and General Workers Union not to join the strike had undermined their position, and the strike may now be postponed until next week. The strike by city bus drivers is to continue. Mrs. Danuta Walesa, the wife of the leader of the banned Polish trade union Solidarity, has been summoned for questioning by police in the port of Gdansk. She said she was wanted as a witness and would be going alone. Yesterday, her husband was detained for questioning for almost 5 hours about a meeting he had at the weekend with underground members of Solidarity. In Sicily, 12 people have been murdered and 5 seriously injured in the worst outbreak of mafia crime for years. The killings happened over the past 24 hours in the province of Catania. Police say they were a settling of accounts by rival mafia gangs. Independent Radio News, it's 1:03. The leader of the Palestine Liberation Organization, Mr. Yasser Arafat, has said he's ready to resume talks with King Hussein of Jordan on President Reagan's Middle East peace plan. Mr. Arafat is due to preside at a PLO meeting in Tunisia today to discuss developments. In China, a tornado killed 54 people when it swept through a mountainous region in the south of the country. An official newspaper said 163 people, mainly peasants, were seriously injured in the storm in Fujian province.
In the Soviet Union, a man accused of taking part in massacres of villagers during the Second World War has been executed as a war criminal. A Soviet newspaper said the man had joined the German army after the Nazi invasion of Russia in 1941. He was sentenced by a military court late last year. In Bulgaria, an Italian has been jailed for 10.5 years by a court in Sofia for spying. He was accused of photographing military sites in Bulgaria. An Italian woman has been jailed for 3 years after being convicted with him. They have 2 weeks to lodge an appeal. In West Germany, the River Rhine reached its highest level since 1970 last night, with serious floods along its banks. The river touched nearly 30 feet high in Cologne, with most of the city centre closed because of the river protection gates, which were raised. A group of Argentines, anxious to visit the graves of their relatives who died in the Falklands conflict, have signed a contract with a shipping company to take them to the islands. They say the ship will carry a Red Cross flag, and its first voyage will be a fortnight on Saturday.
It's been reported in Stockholm that there's strong circumstantial evidence that Soviet submarines were in Swedish waters in October of last year. An official press report quotes the findings of a special government commission set up to investigate incidents off Sweden's main naval base in the Baltic. It says there could have been up to 3 submarines, and that one of them appeared to play hide-and-seek with Swedish vessels while new weapons, unmanned mini-submarines, were tested. Back home, at a meeting in Cavan on Tuesday night last, Fianna Fáil TD Charlie McCreevy spoke out against the present electoral system of proportional representation, claiming that it was largely to blame for the economic and financial difficulties of the country at the moment. His talk was titled "The Irish Electoral System, the Cause of Many of Our Problems." A few moments ago, Jenny McIver spoke to Charles McCreevy in Kildare and asked him why he felt his ideas on the multi-seat system needed publicising at this time.
The main reason that I spoke about the Irish electoral system is that for a long time now I've been carping, criticising how the country has been run, and I've been very critical of politicians and political parties, of all parties. And what I have attempted to do is to analyse the reasons as to why it is the case. And I have come to the conclusion over the years that the Irish electoral system is partially the cause for a lot of our problems, both economic and social, and that's what I attempted the other night in this speech about the electoral system, to give kind of the reasons as to why the many things I've been saying over the years about how the country has been run, as to prove that it is the electoral system, that the multi-seat proportional representation here is partially the cause for many of our problems.
But don't you
that was the idea behind the paper I read the other night, Kavanagh citing.
But in some sense, don't you contradict yourself, because you say that anybody who takes an unpopular stance would find themselves in trouble, number one, with their own constituency party or at constituency level. But haven't you, in fact, yourself disproved that?
Well, no, that is the fact that I'm maybe living proof of that aspect as well. I got into considerable difficulties in my constituency here with the constituency organisation. There's been an awful lot of trouble in Kildare, and it's no secret, it's been very much publicised. But I have been able to just hang in there and still what Fianna Fáil standard bearer. The electorate in my constituency are a different thing altogether. They have returned me a fairly impressive majority, but within the constituency itself, with my the organisation, it's no secret to say that I have had considerable difficulties in the past couple of years with very many public meetings, and I would not enjoy the majority support or anything like it.
Jenny McIver for Independent Radio News at 1 in Dublin.
A tight security operation is underway on the Isle of Wight for the court appearance of the Yorkshire Ripper, Peter Sutcliffe. Sutcliffe, who's serving a life sentence for murdering 13 women, is to give evidence against another prisoner. The man, James Costello, has been charged with wounding Sutcliffe with intent to cause grievous bodily harm. Costello, who's serving 10 years for armed robbery, is expected to plead not guilty.
Police have surrounded a hospital in southeast London after reports that a gunman had tried to hold up the wages office there. At first, it was thought that he'd taken four members of the staff hostage. Details are unclear, but police say he appears to have abandoned the robbery and fled into the hospital grounds.
The dispute affecting production of the Radio Times has ended, and the magazine will be available again next week. Mr. Robert Maxwell, who's the chairman of the printing company, BPCC, said agreement had been reached after extensive negotiations with the print union, SOGAT 82. At a meeting, 123 members of the SOGAT London Machine Branch and 17 of the Clerical Branch refused to accept a majority decision to return to work. They thus confirmed their dismissal.
Thank you, Sybil. Today's financial report. The Irish pound against sterling is at 84.40. Against the dollar, 1.2935 is where we stand today. On the European money market, the Irish pound is currently worth 3.1560 Deutschmarks, 9.4730 French francs, 175.70 pesetas, and 3.5560 guilders. On the London market, spot gold was on offer at noon today at $436 per fine ounce, and spot silver at £7.59 sterling per fine ounce.
Broadcasting from Mullingar, this is Radio West.
Through the years, we've been sharing songs together.
Radio West, the Midlands' own local radio station.
Good afternoon. This is Helen Bradley with the local Midland News from the Radio West newsroom. Dr. Jeremy Glennon has been appointed lecturer in analytical chemistry at UCC. A native of Eden Derry, he is a graduate of UCD, where he obtained his PhD in 1979. He was awarded a postdoctoral fellowship in Toronto, Canada, where he carried out research into environmental problems arising from abnormal concentration of nickel. He is a son of Jack and Mrs. Glennon, his father being a well-known former road and Offaly footballer and a retired insurance official. Offaly farmers were congratulated at the monthly meeting of the local Committee of Agriculture on being the only county to increase cattle numbers and tillage acreage during the period 1974 to 1980. It was reported by Mr. Michael Hassett, Chief Agricultural Officer, that livestock numbers increased by 6,700 and tillage acreage by 6,100. In these hard times, it's good to see improvements like this. Better times are hopefully coming. Moor and Clonfad Dramatic Society are presenting Dive by John B. Keane in Moor Community Hall tomorrow, Friday at 8:30 p.m. A wonderful night's entertainment is promised to young and old alike. The inclement weather of the last few weeks has played havoc with tillage operations, with the ground extremely soft, which is holding up the sowing of spring cereal crops. The good grass growth, which was evident during the last few weeks, has been checked by the colder weather. The cattle trade is booming at present, but this is not making up for the fact that farmers are very worried about getting their spring cereals sowed. Fiacras Óg, the youth organisation which promotes the use of the Irish language, are to hold meetings in the Athlone Vocational School each Wednesday night from 7 to 9pm and in the Mullingar Vocational School each Tuesday night from 7 to 9pm. Fiacras aims at creating an interest in the Irish language in people of the 14 to 22 year age bracket. All those interested are very welcome to come to the meetings. Westmeath Community Games News. The art and modelling competitions are to be held in St Mary's College, CBS, Mullingar at 2pm sharp on April the 16th. All intending competitors are asked to be in their places at 1:30 so that competitions can start on time. The venue was the Bridge House, Tullamore, for the Lions Club charity fashion show, which was held there last night. The Celia Holman Lee Agency modelled a selection of garments from the fashion shops in the town. The models were delighted with the clothes and thought that Tullamore was very fashion conscious. It was interesting to note that all of the models were married except one. Children's fashions were also modelled, as well as gents. There was, however, an unusual fashion parade at the interval, when three oversized babies, all boys, weighing in at around 13 stone, arrived on the ramp in the most up-to-the-minute baby wear. Bonnets, bibs, giant soothers, and, of course, nappies. These gents were part of the cast of the Tullamore Tops of the Town and were aptly called the Terrible Three. There was a presentation to Mary Egan, who was the winner of the Youth Awards scheme sponsored by the Lions Club in Tullamore. Mary was presented with the silver tea and coffee set by the president of the club, Mr. Tom Marr, who she duly thanked with a kiss. All in all, the night was a great success, with well over 500 people in attendance, and the raffle made £473. The prizes for the raffle were three weekend holiday breaks for two, and these were won by Rose Egan, Arden Vale. She got a weekend in Ryan's. Irene Byrne from Tullamore, she won a weekend in the Green Isle. And Bernadette Henze, also from Tullamore, she won herself a weekend at the Great Southern. Congratulations to all you lucky ladies. The Lions Club were very pleased with the night. Their next project is the golf tournament, which is to be held at Tullamore Golf Club on Saturday. Now a little bit on sporting news. The final of the All-Ireland Club Championships has arrived at last. It is due to be played on Sunday in Croke Park. At least that is the official view. As we told you in Tuesday's news bulletin, the Kiltorma Club are continuing to dispute St Rina's right to be in the final. Briefly, the facts are that St Rina's and Kiltorma met in the semi-final about 2 months ago, and St Rina's won on the field. Kiltorma objected on the grounds that Declan Fogarty was ordered off and did not go. The Games Committee accepted this, and the penalty was St Rina's lose the match. St Rina's counter-objected that one of the Kiltorma players was not properly registered, and they also appealed against the decision to award the match to their opponents. Again, the Games Administration Committee upheld the objection, and so both teams were out of the competition, and the only thing left was to award the championship to Antrim representative Loch Gael. The Central Council meeting in Galway, on the eve of Congress, voted by a majority of two to reverse the Games Committee decision, and so St Rina's were back. Radio West asked Damien Martin, who is Offaly and St Rina's goalkeeper, for his reaction to Kiltorma's threat to take legal action. And he said, St Rina's won the match on the field and that is where it counts. St Rina's announced their team yesterday and they are Damien Martin, Michael Whelan, Joe Dooley, Billy Keane, Thomas White, Aidan Fogarty, Tom Keneally, Aid Horn, Shawnee White, James Kerwin, Pory Corn, Dermot Devery, James Horn, Frank Kenny and Hugh Dolan. Well, that's the end of part one of our local Midland news. I'll be back with part two after this short break.
Add elegance to your house surrounds with an easy-to-erect decorative concrete fence from a range of Malloy Concrete. Tell them more. We also manufacture rock-based blocks, Georgian pillars, exposed aggregate flags and planters, silts and curbs. We have a huge selection of natural stone and bricks for house fronts and fireplaces. Why not visit Molloy Concrete Products, Ballykilmurry, Tullamore, and see our display. Open 6 days a week. Telephone 0506 55987. The details are brochure. That's Molloy Concrete, Tullamore.
Do you really want to look beautiful? For that expert touch and personal attention, contact Anne Mansour, Church Road, Tullamore. Anne specialises in facials and acne treatment, electrolysis, waxing, slender tone, eyelash tints, eyebrow shape, makeup, sunbed. Stockists of Clarins Skin and Body Care, Redken Makeup. Ring Anne now for appointment at 0506 21959 and make yourself more beautiful.
Attention all farmers. Well-designed, everlasting, precast concrete cattle drinking troughs now in stock at Muddle Garden Centre, Horsleap Village, between Moat and Kilbeggan. Open Monday to Saturday inclusive, 9 till 6 p.m. Sundays and bank holidays open from 2 till 6. Phone 0506 35116. Muddle Garden Centre, Horsleap.
Radial tyres at giveaway prices direct from the factory. Iron radial remoulds of Eden Derry have seconds at just £7.50 each. Open 8 a.m. to 5 Monday to Friday, Saturdays 8 a.m. to 1. That's Iron Radial Remoulds Limited of Eden Derry.
More people choose National Aluminium.
Ireland's favourite for superb draft-free replacement windows, patio doors and doors.
For style.
Each one individually designed, not only to protect your home and save on expensive energy, but to make it more beautiful too.
And service.
Installed without mess or fuss, usually in less than a day, and guaranteed for 10 years.
National Aluminium. Joy, style and service. Choose Ireland's number one.
For immediate attention, contact your local office at Bridge Street, Portlaoise. Telephone 0502 22068 or 22833.
National Aluminium, joy, style and service, choose Ireland's number one.
Attention all homeowners and house builders. Mullingar, builders, providers and suppliers to the DIY enthusiast have lots to offer you. Timber and sheet materials with machining facilities and treatment plant available. Doors, windows and stairs made to your requirements. Heating and plumbing supplies, bathroom suites, a wide range of crown paint, tools and materials for the DIY man and the gardener. Glass cut while you wait, the cheapest in town. Open 9 till 6 Monday to Saturday, Mullingar Hardware Stores.
Radio West is the proven sales medium in the Midlands. If you have something to sell, Radio West can sell it for you, and you'll be amazed at how little it costs. For further information about getting your name heard on Radio West, call into Radio West House, Patrick Street, Mullingar, or telephone Mullingar 41694. That's Mullingar 41694. Radio West, your local radio in the Midlands.
Welcome back. This is Helen Bradley here with part two of our local Midland news. The pro-life amendment to the Constitution is very prominent in the news at the present time. Organisations such as PLAC and SPUC are fighting hard for this amendment, which is basically a fight for the protection of the unborn child. It's a sad state of affairs that the unborn child, as the Constitution stands, has no basic rights whatever. Yet once the child is born, it benefits from every right of the Constitution. The right to education, employment, housing and protection for itself and its property. One would imagine that the safest place for a baby would be in its mother's womb. But the way things are at the present time, that is not the case. I spoke with Mr. Stephen Price, Westmeath coordinator for PLAC, when he came into our studios here at Radio West and asked him to explain his duties as coordinator.
Well, my function as a coordinator for the pro-life amendment campaign in Westmead is to build up an organisation throughout the county so that when the referendum comes, we will have a unit in every polling booth area, a unit of people who are pro-life and who want to work for the protection of the unborn in our society. And those people will be going out to convince people of the need for an amendment and would in fact be making arrangements to get them out to vote on polling date.
Is there really a need for an amendment?
Well now, Helen, I believe that Radio West has a large number of young listeners, boys and girls. So let's establish for them first what this conversation or this interview is all about. It's about abortion. It's about the killing of the unborn babies. It's about the killing of our own offspring. It's about the mass murder of future generations of Irish men and women. There is, in fact, one baby killed every 3 minutes in England. That is 480 per day, or 175,000 per year. Now, to get back to your question, is there a need for an amendment? Abortion is forbidden in this country under the 1861 Offences Against the Person Act. But this act could be challenged in the Supreme Court, and if found to be unconstitutional, we would have abortion here overnight. Now, you could say that it would never happen here. But they said the same in England. Indeed, they said the same in Europe and the United States of America. But they now have abortion on demand. In fact, 3/4 of the world population now live under abortion laws. And it's interesting, Helen, to note that not one of those countries ever brought in abortion through a vote of its people. That's very significant. It was brought upon them either by the courts or their public representatives. Never once, mark you, by a vote of the people. What the pro-life movement is worried about is the fact that there is no mention of the unborn in our constitution. And as the constitution is the instrument used by the nation to express in broad, well, broad in general terms, the wishes and intentions of the people with regards to the rights of the individual. And it is the duty of the Supreme Court to interpret the law having regard to the express wish of the people in the Constitution. So you may ask, how can the Supreme Court interpret the wishes of the people with regard to the unborn, and there is in fact no mention whatever of the unborn in the Constitution? Now that is why that we believe there is an urgent need for a strong, positive pro-life amendment to be stitched into the Constitution so that the scourge of abortion can never be brought into this country, at least without a vote of the people. Because the important thing, Helen, is to remember that it should always be left to the people to vote in this type of a situation where the life or rights of any individual is at stake.
Pro-life and SPUC have been accused of not caring for people with unwanted pregnancies. Can you comment on that for me?
Well, Helen, apart from being a coordinator for the PLSC in Westmead, I am also a member of SPUC. And this is a very cheap jibe at our pro-life movement, especially the SPUC. Because you can well understand that we weren't in existence until 2 years ago. So how could we be involved in any caring situation up to then? But I believe that we've made very great strides in this regard. And we have started to care. We've started to care first and foremost where in the cradle of life itself, in the mother's womb, for the unborn baby. That's where we have started. But indeed we intend to carry on from there and care for children that are born, care for the mother who bore the child, and in fact to care for life at all stages from, as I said, from the mother's womb to the grave.
Why won't you accept the present government's wording of the amendment? Why the Fianna Fáil wording?
Well, to answer your first question, or your second question rather, first, this proposed new wording would not meet the Taoiseach's repeated commitment to the pro-life amendment. It would not even acknowledge, let alone guarantee, the right to life of the unborn. In fact, it would not prohibit abortion, but it would allow the Oireachtas to legislate it. And imagine what the TDs, some of the TDs who are saying now that they don't want an amendment, imagine what they would do in a situation where there was a hung doll. And it would not prevent the introduction of abortion against the wishes of the people, Helen, and that's very, very important. What was promised was a right to life for the unborn children, and a pledge by the state to defend the right, to defend that right. Now, this right could only be taken away by a majority of the Irish people so deciding at another referendum. Now, what is offered by Dr. Fitzgerald and Mr. Sutherland is an undefined prohibition which gives no human rights to the unborn and leaves the eructus free to bring in limited abortion or even abortion on demand without any consultation with the Irish people. But the big thing is that the Irish people would have no say in the future as whether they wanted or whether they did or did not want abortion.
What would you say to Dr. Fitzgerald's comment on the death sentence risk from the amendment?
Well, I haven't read a statement in full, but presumably he was referring to operations accepted in medical ethics and in the theology of all the churches carried out on women who have cancer of the womb or who develop pregnancies in the fallopian tubes. Well, I don't know. I think Dr. Fitzgerald is either a knave or a fool, because I honestly believe that the 1861 Offences Against the State Act, and that is what the original wording was doing, was stitching that into the Constitution, and that is over 120 years the law here in this country, and doctors could perform that operation when necessary, both of those operations. So I don't see what he's... I think he's trying to frighten the people.
Is your organisation against contraceptives for women?
No, Helen, we have never entered the argument about contraceptives. We have one ideal and one ideal only, and that is to save life. Contraceptives, as you well know, prevents the creation of new life. Abortion kills it. We don't have any say at all about this contraceptive issue. It doesn't concern the pro-life movement, whatever. That's a matter for people's own conscience, and we're not concerned with it.
Has the amendment become a political issue?
Well, it shouldn't be. And PLSC never intended it to be. You know, when we set out to procure this amendment, we canvassed all politicians and all parties alike. And you know, within a very short time, we had received a firm commitment from the two major parties to hold a pro-life referendum. In fact, on the 2nd of November 1982, the then Fianna Fáil government, they published a strong pro-life wording which had the backing of most of the people of this country, including the pro-life movement. The Catholic Church also approved it, and some spokesmen for the Protestant churches, also two attorney generals. And I can say that it had unanimous support of the Fine Gael party, and lest there be any doubt about Fine Gael's commitment to the original wording, let me quote from the Fine Gael Press and Information Services on the 3rd of November 1982, and this was just before the last general election, and I quote, the Fine Gael party welcomes the form of the amendment to the Constitution as proposed by the government. The amendment as proposed is worded in positive terms, designed to strengthen the constitutional protection of life as proposed by the leader of Fine Gael in his Ardesh speech. At its meeting today, the Fine Gael party decided to support the amendment in government and to initiate legislation with a view to the referendum to be held by the end of March. And the letter from Dr. Fitzgerald to Dr. Julia Vaughan, chairman of the Pro-Life Amendment campaign on the 6th of November 1982, testifies to that same thing, and I quote, dear Dr. Vaughan, I have pleasure in enclosing a copy of the statement which was issued as a result of a unanimous decision of the Fine Gael parliamentary party following the publication of the draft amendment. As you will see, we are committed to introducing this amendment in government and having it put to the people in a referendum before the 31st of March next. This referendum will not be delayed by any other consideration. This is an integral part of our programme and will be undertaken by any government that I have the responsibility of leading after the next general election. May I add that the party and myself are grateful for a very helpful discussion with you, which you had with us on this subject recently. So at this stage of the proceedings, we were very happy indeed. We were assured that the referendum would be held before the end of March, no matter who won the election. And I would like your listeners to remember that we didn't care, that at least the pro-life movement didn't care, who brought in the amendment or the wording, so long as it had a strong, positive defence of the unborn. PLSC had everything organised and ready to get the people out to vote, and we were quite happy that there would be a very strong vote in favour of the wording. But in February last, we got a severe shock when we heard that Dr. Fitzgerald had been having second thoughts on the original wording, as he had been advised that it was somewhat weak. PLSC lawyers were quite certain that the wording was as near to perfection as you could possibly get. However, we waited in good faith for Fine Gael to produce a better wording. But indeed, when it was finally published, we found to our horror that not alone that it would not protect the unborn, but that it would allow for abortion laws to be introduced in the Dáil at a future date. So now the pro-life movement finds itself in the position that if the alternative wording is put to the people, the full force of our movement will have to go out and campaign against it. It would appear that Dr. Fitzgerald and his right-hand man, Peter Pendergast, who, by the way, is a founder member of the anti-amendment campaign, and also the Attorney General, do not want an amendment to the Constitution at any price. Now, I've been working coordinating the pro-life campaign in Westmead and also in Longford, Offaly and Laois for the past year or so. And I'm absolutely certain that the very soul of Fine Gael is pro-life. I have had the pleasure of working side by side with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael people, and the strongest supporters and the hardest workers in defence of the unborn are key people from Dr. Fitzgerald's own party. So it's really very hard to see why he is so hell-bent to go against the rank and file of his own party. However, I remain hopeful that the mass of support within Fine Gael for a positive pro-life amendment will succeed sooner or later. I know that Oliver J. Flanagan, Tom O'Donnell and the other TDs who stood up to be counted, they will get tremendous support from the people in the future elections. PLSC believe that the right to life is above politics, and we are doing our damnedest to keep it that way. Maybe a free vote of the House would allow all men and women of goodwill to vote according to their conscience in this matter. Now, if that were so, Helen, I am certain that the original wording will be carried by a large majority. But we're very sad to see so many Fine Gael people let down.